Everyone, my name is Jared Greer, and you are listening to Greer Method, the podcast. I'm your host, executive coach, and founder of Greer Method Complete Coaching. And this is a bonus episode where I share some of my thoughts that I have on my training runs. I'm training for a marathon, and it's coming up actually in a couple of weeks. And one of the topics that have been ever present on my mind is just the idea of change and how significantly we have to change to take on new challenges in our lives, depending on, you know, how obviously the degree of that change. But a marathon is one of those things where really training here in North Carolina all summer long, where it's wicked hot, wicked humid, and you just come off some of your runs wondering if you will ever be able to make it through 26.2 miles. And now, as the weather has been cooling off, it's now, you know, mid to late October. And as the weather's been cooling down, my pace has improved, my stamina has improved, and the runs in some cases actually feel easy, which only boosts my confidence even more and makes me feel like, okay, I'm going to be able to do this run and I'm going to be able to hopefully perform and go well. But the reality is that change has to happen for all of us. And some of us can shy away from change, and many of us do, while others are able to push through and push on and make massive change in our life. And so that's a lot of the thoughts that I've been having recently on my runs. And this recording is actually coming from a private group that I share some of these thoughts and motivational ideas. And we have interesting conversation around some of these topics. It's clients and high performers, VIPs. But this is actually about 20 minutes of that group, of me sharing with that group. So I hope you'll listen to it. I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll take some notes around what keeps people from changing, and then some strategies for how you can change more effectively. Because we all have those times where we certainly want to change. We want to do better or be better or make some change in our lives. And so this is an episode that you can really get some good strategies around how you can spark change in your life, and then some ways you might be thinking about change that are holding you back. So as always, if you love this episode, please like it, share it, leave a comment on iTunes or wherever you're listening to podcasts. And so that way we can spread our message, we can spread the good word, and we can help people make more massive change. So sit back, have a listen, and we will catch you on the tail end. I want to talk a little bit today about change, because change has been on my mind a little bit lately. If you caught the interview that I did last week with Ironman Kona competitor Bryce Williams, he made a comment in there that he said it takes years to prepare and train and change in the ways you need to be able to race an Ironman. And he actually talked about the difference between running an Ironman and racing an Ironman. And sometimes I think we think about life like that, where sometimes we're just kind of running life. We're just going through the motions. We're just doing the things that come our way. But then there's the racing life. And that's where we're giving more focus, more attention, more intention to what we're doing. And so change is inevitable. It has to happen. And it's something that I think gets hard. It gets difficult, especially the older we get, where we become more, you know, we want to be less vulnerable. We want to be able to know what we're doing and know how to do things. And so we're less likely to engage in something that stretches us and pulls us in different ways and makes us feel like we're a little uncomfortable, or maybe we're not as knowledgeable or not as smart. And so that alone can keep us from engaging and kind of changing in things that push us to change and become different. But I'm a firm believer in something that I call mirror moments. And I think we all have those moments where sometimes literally where we're sitting in front of the mirror, we're brushing our teeth or we're doing our makeup. And we have those moments where we think about an area of our life where we want to do better. We want to be better. And we feel, at least in that moment, we feel inspired. We feel a spark. Sometimes we might feel some guilt. But I believe mirror moments happen anytime where we're faced with the reality of who we are
maybe a reality of our limitations, of our where our skills, our abilities have kind of reached their limits, and we know we want to push beyond. We know we want to develop a little bit more, but sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes we're just too afraid. Sometimes we're just scared. So change is something that has to happen, though. You obviously are not the same person that you were, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago. And even though who you are doesn't change, certainly what you're able to do, how you think about things, your perspective, no doubt changes as you get older and more experienced in life. So I want to give you three things that I think will help you start to spark some change in your life. Because we all have those things we want to do better, whether we want to have a better health regimen or we want to be a better spouse to our partners. We want to be a better parent. We just want to be more confident. Maybe we want to have more influence and have better, stronger careers. Maybe we're trying to build up our business. All of the many different things that we want are going to require in some way, shape, or form change. And change always brings with it some discomfort. So here's three things that are going to help you ultimately change. The number one is identify what you're working toward. Identify the big picture goal and objective. Because the more clear you are on what you're trying to achieve, then the easier it's going to be to take the necessary steps and actions and do the things that really aren't fun doing. So, you know, nobody likes to get up at 5 in the morning. Well, some people do. I don't love getting up at 5 in the morning to go for a run, but I have an objective of hitting a certain time and in a race that I have coming up. And so I go through that pain, the pain of waking up and the pain of logging the miles so that I can achieve that goal. And that's the same when you have a goal in your career, you have a goal for your family, you have a goal for your health, all of those things, when you really have sat down, written it out, made it really clear, then you're more likely to put in the work to actually go after it. I think Harvard did a study a few years ago that something like 50%, you have a 50% increase chance of actually accomplishing a goal if you just simply write it down. So just that act of writing it down creates a higher probability that you're going to get it done. The second thing is break down those big goals into small skills, habits, and abilities that you will need. So we often like to look at the long-term picture. I want that. I would like to do this. But less often we break that down into smaller skills and abilities that we'll need. Like, well, I will need to be a better public speaker. I will need to be more influential. I will need to be more knowledgeable about exercise and fitness. So when you break down the skills, abilities, knowledge that you need into those smaller bite-sized chunk type things, then again, it kind of gives you now a little bit of a roadmap of what you can spend your time on and what you can focus on. And then the third thing is to achieve consistency. And in Greer Method, one of the primary principles of the Greer Method is to first achieve consistency. And consistency comes when we've planned and organized the rest of our life around one or two things so that we can make space for it. We can create the room for that habit, that skill to actually grow and live. It's really hard to just cram something new into the already very busy life that we have. And the other thing about consistency is we really measure it based on repetition. How many times did you do it? How many times in a row did you do it? So if you sit down at the beginning of the week and you say, this is what I want to accomplish 3 times this week, then that is the only measure of success you should use for that week. Now, I know you can get into different layers of, you know, technique and intensity and how much weight did you push or how far did you run or how many projects did you complete? But the reality is we want to first start with achieving consistency. We want you to make sure that you're actually measuring what you're setting out to do, and you're just measuring the repetition of time and attention given to it over time. Because as consistency comes, then technique naturally improves, and then you can also manage your intensity. You can push a little bit harder, but none of that is going to happen if you haven't created that space in your life for that habit, that skill, that new thing to actually develop and ultimately thrive. So whatever it is, those are three very simple things that will start to spark change in your life. So if you want to be a better spouse, better partner, you want to get back into better shape, you want to build your career or your business, then start with those three steps. Identify the goal, break down the goal into habits and skills, and then finally, achieve consistency. Clayton Christensen of Harvard says, change can often be difficult, and it will probably seem easier to just stick with what you're already doing. And certainly we felt that in our lives, no doubt. That's what happens when we come face to face with ourselves in those mirror moments, whether it's literally in front of the mirror when you're brushing your teeth, putting on your makeup, doing your hair, or those times in life where, you know, maybe we fall a little bit short and we're just face to face with our own limitations, our own weaknesses, and our own challenges. But the reality is you can do more, you can be more, and you can put in effort and create change that ultimately will lead to massive transformations. I want to point out that when we think about change, there's three dangerous ways that we think about it. And we actually use these phrases kind of as well. So the first dangerous way to think about change is the idea of I can't. And so when we say I can't, that makes it a capability issue. And sometimes we don't think that we're capable of changing. Maybe we don't believe in ourselves, or maybe we don't have the confidence to try, or at times we simply just don't know the way. We don't know how to actually make the change. But in addition to that, sometimes we just think that the change is prohibited by an external force, someone else, right? I can't do better at my job because my boss is a jerk, or he does this or she does that. I would love to have more family time, but my kids are honestly all over the place. They've got soccer and basketball and gymnastics. Or maybe I would love to move to another state or another city or another country, but you know, my partner would never leave. So we take the capability of change and we put it kind of in somebody else's control. And sometimes it's environmental. So it's something else. We say, I can't because there's no gym near my house. Or I can't because there's just no jobs here. The economy's not good. And so we don't change because of the environment. So again, capability, that's kind of the very first dangerous way we can think about change. The way out of this really is to organize around it. Organize time, space, resources. You've got to communicate with other people who this change might impact, might actually affect. And sometimes you have to buy your way out of it. When my wife and I decided we wanted to leave the Washington, D.C. area, once we made that decision, we had to break leases. I was working for a consulting firm and working a ton of hours, and so packing just wasn't a reality. And so we actually hired movers to come in, pack our house, and load the truck and drive it all down here. And so we kind of bought our way out of it. That's how we had to make change happen. So capability, definitely one that is dangerous way of thinking. I can't, right? The second dangerous way of thinking about change is the I won't. This is dangerous because obviously it's a conscious choice. You're choosing not to. And so sadly, sometimes this happens just because we haven't really felt the pain of our behavior yet. We haven't felt, we haven't hit the low points enough. And sometimes and often this kind of flies in the face of what we know we should be doing, but it's like, why, right? So we don't change spending habits because we haven't really gotten to the point where we're destitute and we can't pay our bills, right? We don't stop eating poorly because we're still in pretty good shape and we're able to do what we need to do. You know, we can work out in the yard and do the things that we need to do there. We don't change how we treat people because they still stick around. They put up with it. And so change doesn't really happen. We don't choose to change. So when we choose not to change though, and especially when we know that we should, it's not usually until much later that we really feel the impact of those choices or of those behaviors. So the I won't way of thinking can also be a symptom of kind of a lack of belief in our ability to change. So kind of they're a symptom of the I can't, right? We don't believe we can, therefore we don't. So the way to beat the I won't is really to ask yourself, if I don't make this change, how will I feel in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? Will you be living the life that you want? Will you be able to do what you want? And as you ask that question, then certainly you can look at your, you know, future self and say, would my future self be thriving if he's eating donuts every single day? Probably not, right? But my, you know, present self is pretty happy with it. So you've got to decide what choices you need to make now to get to the long haul. So the third option, so we went through I can't, we went through I won't. The third option is, I think, the most dangerous. And this is the way of thinking, I will win, right? I will win. I'll make the change win. And in this one, we don't really feel less about our own capability. We feel like we can, but the timing's just not right, or there's something that's just a little bit out of place. And so it's not about we can't, it's about, you know, well, everything's not perfect yet. The second is, we don't really feel bad about the choice. We're not saying I won't, because in our minds, we actually have chosen to change. And we may even feel a sense of accomplishment from it. We might feel good because we actually have decided. And when this other thing happens, then we are all over it, right? We are going to make that change and it's going to be amazing. And so we can feel really great, but truly we haven't done anything yet, right? And in some cases, we do make the change. The contingency is met and we make the change and things are great. But more often, that contingency changes, or it bounces to another contingency. So change actually doesn't happen. And it's more like we're standing in quicksand and all we need to do is grab onto a vine or a ladder. But we say, I'm totally gonna grab the ladder when the sand is just right at my ankles. Then the sand rises to our ankles and we say, well, when it reaches my knees, I'm certainly going to grab the vine or the ladder. And then it rises and then it's at our knees and we say, well, definitely, when it hits my chest, I mean, that would be crazy not to make the change then. I'm definitely going to grab the vine when it's at my chest. And then next thing you know, it's at your eyes. And maybe you grab it, but maybe you don't. And so there we are. I'll do it in January. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start Monday after vacation or after the holidays. I'll do it when the kids are older. I'll spend more time with my family when my business is finally in a good position, or when I get that next promotion, or when I'm making more money. I'll have that really tough conversation with my spouse or my employee when they're not so preoccupied, or when the mood is a little bit better, or after that big presentation. After this piece of cake, then I'm dead serious. Then I'm going to make this change. And so we all have changes that we want to make. And certainly it's easy to push that out, to hang contingencies. But rarely do I find that in life we have those moments where we're walking down this beautiful beach, the waves are crashing, the weather and temperature are just perfect, the clouds are just gorgeous, and then all of a sudden the clouds break, the sun shines down, and it's like, oh, time. Is perfect right now. It's rarely perfect. And so perhaps the most ironic paradox of all is that the path of change doesn't actually change. No matter what, to change, we must start. We must make mistakes. We have to learn and adjust. And then we have to remain consistent. And if we don't follow these steps, we don't do these things, then we actually don't change at all. So whatever that change is for you, I'm encouraging you to make it, and I'm encouraging you to make it now, to start it right now. Not on Monday, not tomorrow, not on Sunday, start now. Whatever that first step is, whatever that first move is, make it. Because you could wait till tomorrow, or next week, or January 1st, but you could also start today. And that, my friends, is how you make change, is getting started.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. This is just a time of the year where lots of people are thinking about how do they change? How do they make change? sometimes feeling very frustrated that they haven't changed or that they can't change. And so hopefully this episode gives you some good insight as to how you can change, how you can help others change, and some of the important details of that. If you loved this message, or if you know someone who is really working hard to make significant change in their life, then please share this with them. Please leave a detailed comment in iTunes or wherever you're listening to podcasts. Help us get our message out and help us help people make change. It's certainly something that we all try to do, and it can be difficult. So as you look at this new year coming up, think about and really commit to making some change and use the tools and techniques that you learned here in this episode. Until next time, thanks again, as always, for listening.